The word legacy refers to something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor. Perhaps the most accessible image of legacy is money. That if one of us were to receive $100 million from a dying relative, we could use those funds to start living very difficulty. You could help pay off the debt for the church to begin with. That you could have all your bills being paid for by just the interest earned from that newfound wealth. That you could start enjoying things you never thought you could afford in the past. In other words, a legacy can completely change the way one lives and open up new possibilities. It's in this sense that we explore today's gospel, wherein our Lord sets forth for us a new power, the power of love. If we tap into it and draw from its riches, we are able to live differently. That if we lay hold of it, there is a kind of legacy, a deposit of riches from which we can draw. Let's look at the gospel in three stages and discover what the Lord has done for us and left us by way of a legacy. First, our gospel starts, when Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God has glorified him, God will also glorify him in himself. And God will glorify him at once." Notice how the text speaks in the present. The Son of Man is glorified. That the tense of the verb indicates something that has begun and is underway. That Judas is going forth has started a process that is now underway. And will, by God's grace, result in liberation and glorification for Jesus and for us. The Lord Jesus is no mere victim. That everything is unfolding exactly as foretold. The Son of Man will suffer, but in the end will be glorified. And this glory will be available for us to make a whole new life. Now this leads us to a question. What happened when the Son of God died and rose for me? This is not a question posed in order to receive merely the answer from the catechism. Expressed more deeply, the questions are these. What difference does the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ make for me today? Are they just ancient historical events that is meaningful only because others say so? Or have I grasped and begun to lay hold of what Jesus has done for me? The scripture goes and says that Jesus' death is glorification and new life for us. St. Paul writes, "We know that our old self was crucified with him, so the sinful body might be destroyed. We might no longer be enslaved to sin. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might have a whole new life." In other words, Jesus, the Son of Man, is glorified in his passion and is destroying the power of sin and death by his cross and resurrection. That each of us needs to spend our lives pondering what happened when the Son of God died for us. The way we ponder is not just some merely simple historical event. Because it is that, but it's something far more. Something that is here, now, today, still for us. That to the degree that we will lay hold of this saving work, we will come to see and experience the power of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ to put sin to death, to bring new life forth in him. And we see this happen in the lives of the saints. We see it happened for St. Moses the Black, who was a thief, a robber, a murderer. He was a terrible man. And then when the authorities were finally catching up to him, he hid in a monastery. And it was there in that monastery that he came to know who Christ was. Came to know how Christ died out of love for each and every one of us and converted, changed his life completely by that witness to the power of the cross. that we too are called to be witnesses of the power of the cross, its power to quell sinful fears, worldly lusts, and worldly preoccupations. That on what account Jesus endures for us, that he ascends on high, not to leave us, but to open the way for us to a greater and fuller life. It is a life in which we see sin put to death, many graces and charisms come alive. That it's an increasingly victorious life. That it's up to us to grasp this saving work, this new life it offers us by the power of the cross, of him crucified. That this is the moment of glory, the pivotal moment of all things. That this is the glory and the basis of a new life because of what Jesus does at this moment. His glory and ours is ushered in. That it's all premised on this. Second, our gospel says, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So also you should love one another. That when we hear the phrase, love one another as I have loved you, we can fall into the trap of thinking, uh-oh, I have more to do. I have to try harder. Because he loved me, now I, the power of my own flesh, have to love others. That it's not by the power of God. This is not the gospel. The phrases are not about rules, it's about relationship. That Jesus is not just saddling us with more responsibilities. He's equipping, empowering, enabling us to love with the same love with which he has loved us. The point here is to let Jesus love you, to experience his love. And with this love, experienced and embraced, be empowered to love others. That the Lord does not just say love. Rather, he says, receive love and then love with the love that you have received. The scripture goes and says, we love because he first loved us. That as the Father has loved me, so also I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That in other words, we have the power to keep his commandments and to love others to the degree that we receive and abide. That is, remain in his love. That we love with his love. Not merely our own. That we see that example of abiding in his love, of loving with God's love from St. Camillus de Lillis. That every time he went off to this army and became a soldier, he ended up falling into sin and have to come back and convert, come back to that life of the sacraments, coming back to keeping the commandments, coming back to God's love. That each time he came back to that love, he experienced that love of Jesus. Eventually, he was able to figure out how to give that love to others by caring for the sick and poor in the city of Rome. That we don't want to miss the point that this is the gospel. The power of his loving grace, we are empowered to love and keep his commandments, to see our lives changed. That the gospel is not a moralism that tells us to obey a bunch of rules. The gospel is that God has sent his Son, who died for us, rose to give us a holy, new, transformed life. A life that keeps the commands and loves others with the power of God's own love, received and experienced. Third, our gospel says, this is how all will know that you are my disciples. If you have loved one another. The usual Greek word for know is richer than our modern notion of intellectual knowing. The Greek word for merely knowing something intellectually is oida. But the Greek verb used in this gospel is gnosko, which refers to experiential knowing, to knowing in a very deep, personal, experiential way. That thus the point is that others will notice the legacy of love living in us in a very real and experiential way. That the faith, hope, and love that we proclaim will not and cannot be a mere intellectualism. That it's something that others can see and experience at work within us. That hence the proof, the evidence, the picture of God's love is not some vague feeling or a mere intellectual attribute in us. It's a powerful and dynamic force that equips, empowers, enables us to love. That the Lord says here that his love is something that changes us in a way that others will notice. That it changes our relationship in a palpable, tangible, and noticeable way. That we notice and experience its power, and so do others around us. That yes, we will even love our enemies. And we will do this not out of the power of our own flesh, or because we have to, but because we want to receive and have received from the Lord a new heart and the power to love. Notice also that the love that we will have is not merely a sentimental one, that it will be true love, love rooted in truth. There will be a love like Jesus has, a love that does not compromise the truth or water down its demands. It will be a love that speaks truth, but does so to win an argument, to summon others to fulfillment and flourishing. That this is what Jesus did in his own life, in his ministry here on earth. He loved, but he loved in truth and integrity. Nothing would compromise his love for his Father or the glorious vision and plan that his Father had for all his children to abide in truth and holiness. That this love affects other people around them. That it was this love that affected blessed Bartimolongo. That he was living a life of sin, living a life as a Satanist, but encountered that love of Christ in a priest during university, ending up to converting his life, becoming known as the Apostle of the Rosary, promoting a devotion to Our Lady of Pompeii. That it's thus for us the positive proof that the legacy of love is at work within us. First of all, our transformed lives, which other people can see. Second, that is a love that others can and do experience from us. Granted, this love will sometimes challenge and irritate others, as it did with Jesus' love for the world. But it's a love that is difficult to deny. An integrity that is hard to impugn. A love that, even if disconcerting, is real, palpable, and obvious. This, then, is the legacy of love. It is a treasure, an inheritance that Jesus has left us to draw upon. That this love is not our work, not our wealth, not our power. It is all his. And he left it for us to draw upon. Will we? Or will we make excuses about how we are not able to do the things which he has summoned us to do? If it is not our power, it's not our love, it is his. He has left us this legacy, this inheritance to draw upon. That we simply have to lay hold of this power, of this love, let it transform our lives. And thereby transform the lives of those around us. That is this love that bestows new life. It is this love that can transform our world.